Hello, and welcome to another episode of Creative Inclinations. This is the podcast where we discuss art, culture, music, entertainment, and more with your host, me, David Steele. Today we have some special guests on the show, two guests actually. We have Brandon from Lunar Division, and we have Allie from Team Organization. And we're going to talk to them about a benefit show at Resonant Head. That show is going to be Saturday, August 30th, 8 p.m., with a really great lineup: Lunar Division, M and the Mother Superiors, Mr. Mandala, and Day Chaser. And that benefit show is going to benefit Team, the Education and Employment Education and Employment Ministry. I was doing so good until then. which is breaking cycles of incarceration and poverty through education, personal development, and work readiness training, which is, I think, a really cool organization I hadn't heard about before. Maybe I have. So, Allie, you are, can you, like, just, first question, I guess, you can answer is just, what is Team exactly?
So you kind of hit our mission statement there, but we are a nonprofit in Oklahoma City dedicated to breaking cycles of incarceration and poverty through personal development, work readiness training, and education. We have programs that will hit a person no matter where they are through the criminal legal system. So whether they're just now going into jail, or they're coming out of prison, or they're sentenced to some sort of a diversion court, there we have a program that can meet them where they're at to help them change their life around and become active working members of society again.
I think that's really important. And just from, I don't know any personal stories or people like in that situation, but you can imagine, you hear about it all the time, and it's definitely something that's needed. So that's really cool to hear about.
Definitely.
So what is your role in the organization exactly?
So I'm the outreach and communications coordinator. So I'm dealing directly with the community. So I'm doing things like this all the time.
Kind of public relations
type I also
stuff.
Run our social medias. At a nonprofit, you do work just like a lot of different aspects of the whole thing. So, I keep busy, but I love it. Every second of it.
That's awesome. Because I guess one of my questions next is, like, how many people are in the organization? Is it like a, how big is it?
So we have a staff of about 55 now, and that's really grown significantly just in this past year. We added some additional programs, but it's always been a pretty small organization, and it's been around for, I think, 1998. So it's been around for quite a while. So it's always stayed relatively small up until recently, and then we've been able to really expand, and we're serving about 3,600 a year. That's our projection for 2025.
That's cool,
so
That's a lot. It's kind of a bigger organization than I even expected. As a, on the website, there was like a list of like, well, there was a big list actually, because there's different sections, but I imagine maybe there's like, I'm sure it started out much smaller with kind of a core group.
It started out with just like our reentry program, which is just people coming out of prison. But then we realized there's more of a need. There's more of a need at different points along the way of your criminal legal system. So just finding out how to implement programs that meet people where they're at in that system.
Cool. Yeah, I like that aspect too. So you can have multiple solutions for different situations. I was going to ask about how long has it been around. You said 1998, which is a lot longer than
That's a rough guess, but
But that's, at least 25 years.
It's either 87 plus. Or 98, but I'm like, I can't.
Still, like I said, I don't know why I imagined maybe it was younger than that.
But when it first started, they were just helping with employment services for the entire city. And then in 2013, when they kind of noticed that most of the people coming in for services were either struggling with poverty or dealing with the criminal legal system, they decided, hey, maybe we just need to focus more on that. And so then they were able to make that shift with our executive director, Chris Steele.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's great. And how long have you been with the organization? Did I ask that?
No, just a little over a year.
Okay, so you're pretty new to it.
Yeah.
So why do you feel it's important or necessary, and what made you get interested in it? Was there anything?
Yeah, so I actually grew up with a father with alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And now, well, we never really touched the prison system or anything like that. He finally got sober my freshman year of high school, and seeing that shift and that change and just the human he became and overall father he became, and made me recognize like how people can change, but also like how easy it is to get yourself stuck in that circumstance that and wound up where you are. So just kind of put a lot of things into perspective for me. And then when in, my dad was sober, he started volunteering in prisons and kind of got me involved in that. So right when I turned 18, which is like the age you have to be a prison volunteer, I got badged and I started going in and I just, I fell in love with it. So, and just all of the people that are incarcerated, all their talent and just the love, and it's just incredible.
That's great. Yeah, it's really cool to see. And just because I imagine most people that are, or when you said that, like, your dad, like, usually whenever people like overcome something like that, then they realize like, oh, now they know how, so they have to teach other people and help other people, kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I think that you see that a lot, and I think that's really great. Because yeah, there is so many people. I mean, everybody in prison, everyone's just, you know, we're all the same. We all have the same amount of creativity and, like I said, art and music that we can offer the world. But then, yeah, you get caught up in whatever it is, drugs, alcohol, and you get stuck into a system that, you know, definitely makes it hard to even get clean and sober and stuff like that.
Yeah, and something you just said is honestly the reason why I do it, and it's just such an incredible thing to see. It's the domino effect, where if you help one, that one is going to go out and help five, and then those five are going to go out and help 10. And so it just grows.
I hadn't really thought about it like that, but that is really
it is. You just have to reach one.
It's a good way to think about it too, and I'm sure to keep yourself going and like motivated to keep doing it and stuff like that, because that's really, you got to think about that. And I like that a lot. So yeah, one of my questions was about like any success stories that you've seen. Obviously you talked about with your dad, and I'm sure there's more, any kind of anything in particular that comes to mind about like what you've seen so far, or even before you joined team.
I've seen so many success stories. So when I first started at team, I was actually a case manager. So I had just success stories just there. And I'm not going to say names or anything, but just one participant in particular, he got out and he was just adamant about the program at first, but of course he signed off. I mean, we're getting him out of jail. Like, come on, get me out. But then whenever he starts reading the conditions, he's like, oh man, like what I get myself into. But, he was willing. He, didn't, look at it like, this is just another thing, but he took it as like, hey, I want to change. And then he immediately got employed, which, being in the criminal legal system, that is one of the toughest things, is employment and housing. Immediately was able to get, stable in all of that, and, just completely turned his life around, and they completely dismissed his case. And we see that, more often than not, really, with what we're doing and how the program works. It's just, it's really changing lives.
That's awesome. Like completely dismissed. Like that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Completely. That happens. It happens quite often, and we're always so amazed.
Yeah, I think it's hopefully whenever like the judge or whoever sees that, it's like, oh, they're really putting in the effort, you know, and they really, I think that as humans, we see a lot more, like you can see whenever somebody's really putting in effort versus when they're just going with the flow. I think it's kind of intuitive. I mean, we kind of, that's why I always think a lot about whenever people like lie to each other or whatever, it's like we see through that. I think it's kind of, sometimes maybe there are definitely some liars better than others, but I don't know. It's something that I think a lot about, just from being a human. We just, all we do is watch other humans. I think that's something I think about a lot, especially when it comes to art or music, of course, or like we all watch celebrities and just obsess over famous people. So I don't know. It's just something that I've been thinking about lately.
Well, even like just going off of what you just said, like when you, we go off of what we see, we're just watching human interaction all of the time. Think about like when you were younger and if you were maybe in a situation where you were watching bad things happen all the time, right? So then you just, your mind is altered to think that that's right or not even that it's right, but that it's okay. And a lot of people end up in circumstances of like incarceration just because of things that they witnessed as a child that we would have never even thought about experiencing.
Like, depending on your upbringing for sure.
Exactly.
It's definitely... definitely something to think about there, just because, I mean, that, and that is a part of the cycle too, right? It's like whenever bad people have children and then they raise those children, they become, you know, this just like their parents, because of course,
there's a huge connection in those who are incarcerated and those who have incarcerated parents. And so that's like a big thing. And like those adverse childhood experiences that, those experiences that are just uncommon. So, even having a father as an alcoholic growing up, you know, that was just one of those different experiences. Yeah. And, it can be abuse. It can just be trauma. Anything can lead you to, just have sort of a little bit of a brain shift than what the average human, what's average nowadays, right?
But yeah, I mean, just a more positive upbringing versus negative for sure.
Exactly, yeah.
I was going to ask, or I guess about like some of the like programs themselves. Like, I guess my question is kind of like, you talked about like, with people that are maybe with children, I don't know. Can you talk about like some of the programs that you guys do, and like, especially I like the aspect of the different levels or the different kinds of things, I guess.
Right. So, I'll try and keep it briefish. It's a lot. So,
I mean, you can just pick, I mean, I don't know, some of like the main one you said, you could start with that maybe.
So,
and go with the couple.
I'll just
others.
Start with reentry. Yeah, what we kind of started off with, that's going to be, meeting people who are, a year out from getting released from prison. And so those are like pretty long sentences. And so, it's structured in a way that it's going to meet that person's needs. So someone who's been incarcerated for 20 years is going to probably need a lot more than someone who went in for 5 years.
Okay.
Right. Just even, I just know, one guy that got out and he was in, went in 2001 and he got, so he got out the same, and he was the same age as me when, I mean, he was as I was born in 2001 is what I'm trying to say. And he went into prison. And so he got out after 21 years and it was like, what is self-checkout? And so you don't even think about like basic things like that, like scan item, what, like, so you don't even think about like stuff like that. And so,
so I imagine you guys like have, you guys know that it's like, well, you kind of have, you can teach people what they missed and
so,
what they might expect.
What's so unique and just, my favorite thing about our reentry program right now and the way it's structured is that every staff member of the reentry program, so all of our reentry case managers, were formerly incarcerated.
Okay, yeah.
So they've lived it and they know
they
what
know
it's
exactly
like to get out and what you need to do. And that just helps so much when you have someone who's like, I've been there, but look at me, right? Like, this can be you. So that just helps so much, you know, because I went to college for this, but there's some things I could never, ever know.
You weren't in those shoes, so it's hard to put yourself there.
Exactly,
for
that lived experience. So that's reentry. It's just working with people who are a year from getting out, just so you can go ahead and start getting some of those stabilitating things. We can start looking at, okay, this is your charge, so where could you possibly work? And does your charge keep you from living in anywhere specific? And starting to get that stuff set up. Do you have an ID? Because you can't even get a job without a birth certificate, ID, and social security, and you've been in prison for 20 years. Where is it? Who knows? So,
you have to kind of get that stuff started first, which a lot of people, I mean, if you don't have those kinds of programs, you're not even going
to
know you
where
need
to start.
And we have a class for those individuals as well. It's called Empower, and they're coming to learn like life skills that they may have never had the opportunity to. So whether that's relationship skills or it's financial literacy. Financial literacy is always so overlooked.
I need to take that class.
No kidding.
That needs to be like required all the time.
I sat in on one of their classes and I was like, like, that's crazy. So, it's just, a really essential class, and I really see people's eye open in that class. Yeah. So that's our reentry program brief. We've got our pretrial program. Okay. That's going to be working with people who are coming out of jail. And the only reason they're sitting in jail versus someone who also committed their crime is the fact that they can't afford their bail or their bond. And so that's like a debtor's prison in my eyes, right? Yeah. Like we're just holding people because they don't have the finances. Mm-hmm. And so this program is in place of that. So they can actually come out with us and they can start working on getting employment, getting re-stabilitized before they even go and see that judge for the first time. Because if the judge sees you and you're like, hey, I'm doing this, 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 I'm an active member of society, please don't pull me out of it, they're more likely to be like, hey, let's dismiss this, or let's give you a community sentencing rather than a prison sentence. And so that really just helps a lot. So that program goes through the goes with the participant throughout the entirety of their court case. So from when it starts to when they sentence you, you're with that case manager, and they're writing letters to advocate for you to the courts that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. They're making sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. They're encouraging you to, but nothing's necessarily forced, right? So that's a big thing, is the people got to want it. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely, you can just offer, I mean, cause you can't, you can't make anyone be better or whatever. It's like, but you can offer the tools and the steps that they can take.
Right. That's cool. We also have our Oklahoma County Community Sentencing Program. That one is kind of like a probation. So you get sentenced to Oklahoma County Community Sentencing, and, you serve, I think it's 2 years. You serve, and you're, coming in and out, you're doing your regular stuff. It's just like probation, but instead of, hey, this is what you need to do, go do it. Hey, this is what you need to do, let me help you do that. Mm-hmm. It's, oh, you're testing positive for a drug. Okay, we're not going to send you straight to prison for that. Let's see if there's a treatment option for you. So it's just a little more of a diversion of than just straight probation, right? It's just a little more, practical. For the
makes sense.
Any human being. And then we've got our SEO program. That's a new program. That is supervision engagement officers, and they also work with a court ordered program. So they've got a Dreams Court, which is like mental health court, DUI court, and then Veterans Court. So those are like different programs that you can also get sentenced to instead of like an actual sentence. And so you would work that full program all the way out, and that can be more tailored to your needs, because obviously, oh, if you have mental health, this is probably the best program for you because it's tailored to those with mental health. Oh, you're a veteran, like we definitely need you with veterans, because
For sure, that's what I think a lot about with the homeless situation. I'm sure you probably know a lot about that as well, but I think about that a lot because we see it all the time. I mean, you know, I'm out driving around all day, definitely see, and you wonder about those people, because, like, I mean, most of them, a lot of them are veterans and things like that, that are come back from war, PTSD and everything, and can't reintegrate. Do you guys deal a lot with just not so much the incarceration, but with people with PTSD and mental illness, kind of homelessness, I guess, or unhoused, that's the term.
So we don't have any specific programs for the unhoused, but a lot of our participants are unfortunately unhoused.
This goes along with it. I mean,
because of the circumstance, you know, because you have that charge on you, you now, it's really hard to get a job and it's really hard to find that employment. And so you do spend a longer time being unhoused than because you have that label on your back that you can't shake, even though you've served your time.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely a part of it too. I mean, that's basically, you're coming out of prison, it's the same thing as coming out of war or something. I'm sure there's a lot of similar circumstances with PTSD from prison as well.
Yeah, definitely PTSD from prison. And we also have a whole veterans program separate from everything else too, that really helps with veterans, because there is such a high percentage of veterans that are incarcerated. And so they're able to go into the jails and into the prisons and really kind of meet with those guys. And
it's more tailored specifically.
Exactly. Kind of gives them a group to like actually talk about how they're feeling. Cause once again, like, I have no idea what that's like, right? So, really, I just think a space to talk even really, really can change a person.
I'm sure that that can go. I'm sure that there's even for prisoners too, with the groups and things like that, that, you know, people sharing your experience with other people is a big thing for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, those are really great. I'm sure there's even more that you guys do than that. It seems like there's a lot.
I'm sure, and I'm sure I'm offending one of my coworkers by not mentioning a program, but there's so much going on.
You,
so.
You seem like you know so much about it, and it's like you've only been there a year or whatever, so it's like really definitely are very well-versed in everything, so that's cool to talk to and learn about. And, yeah, so let's see. Kind of wrapping up on this a little bit, but so we talked about like some success stories. I guess I don't know. I mean, it's a hard thing because I don't think that there is any true like the what does success look like for team as an organization. I mean, I don't think that these problems are ever going to go away. But I mean, to continue, I would say if I was to guess, it would be like the lower incarceration rates and homelessness and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, the hope is to be no need for team, right? Like the hope at the end of the day is that we don't have jobs or we have different jobs because the state has implemented the things that we've tried and have succeeded at. And so the whole thing has shifted completely. And so that's like kind of a silly thing to say, like, oh, the hope is to not have a job one day. I mean, but I mean, that's the end goal, right? And whether or not we get there in my lifetime, I mean, this is a mission. It's not a battle, right? So, I mean, we're going to keep chugging at it. We're going
to
keep going.
Yeah, I think, like, I mean, there's no choice but to. I mean, I think, and that's cool, too. I like the how you, it's like you guys are figuring out the best ways to help people in those kinds of situations. And then hopefully maybe those programs can be put into, like, a more official, like, government or, you know, on the state level.
I mean, yeah, if you switched up probation to how we do community sentencing, right? And so it was more, I mean, how many more people would be successful, right? I mean, our recidivism rate is so bad, and so it's like, which is the people who come out and go back to prison. That's the recidivism rate, sorry. And so where's the change, right? And then those numbers at team are so low because that's the change and that's what's coming. And so we just have to keep working at it and showing that.
It's like you guys are proof that these programs can work. So hopefully people will see it. And
the proof in the pudding.
that's awesome. So I kind of had a couple of questions. I mean, this is a art and entertainment focused show. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm always interested in that with people, and I always ask people that, even like, because we interview a lot of comedians, musicians, all kinds of performers. So, but one question I always ask people is like, what else do you do? Or, but my question to you is like, are you have you ever played an instrument or sang or thought about performing in any way? Just as a more personal question, but
So I played the saxophone in middle school and for the first year of high school, the whole marching thing, just kind of not too much now. That's an early morning.
Like the how you got into that, right?
And then I got into show choir.
So you're no stranger to the stage.
Yes, and then this is actually just tying it back into team a little bit here. And this isn't team related, but it's just something I do. I have a band in prison. They kind of got shifted to different yards, so they're a little separated right now, but they're the Yearning Hearts, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, my hope is to one day have them out to perform at one of these things with everyone.
That'd be cool. So yeah, it must be difficult to practice in there, but probably not much harder than it is in
You get 1 hour before showtime, and so it's like, all right, I mean, walking in and they're already going, and I'm like, hold on now.
That's awesome though. That's really cool to see, because I've heard about, like, you know, sports and things like that in prison that they probably do, but probably not as much music and things. So, or bands.
They do a lot of music and a lot of art. It actually blew my mind. Like even at the women's facility, Mabel Bassett, that we go to all the time, they have bands like crazy in there, and they do a lot of sign language art. So like they're dancing but doing sign language to the words of the song.
Interesting.
And yeah, it's just so many unique different talents and stuff
that's
inside.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love that for sure. That's cool. We are now taking donations for to help support Rhythm and Wit. It's called buymeacoffee.com/rhythmandwit. And that is where you can go and just donate any number, any amount. I think that what they do is, it's called Buy Me a Coffee. You can buy us one cup of coffee. Costs $5, so you can just donate $5, and that will maybe buy one of us a coffee.
Yeah, so we'll sip on it together.
We'll split it. So you can do that, or you can buy us 10 cups of coffee if you wanted to. So, I mean, that's like a $50 donation, and then that's all goes there. You can leave us a message on there, and if you do leave us a message, we will certainly read it on the air, and thank you for your support. And any of the money that we take from Buy Me a Coffee or any donations at all, we are going to use to put back in the show, whether it's buying new equipment, maybe some mics or cameras or lights or anything like that, or maybe even promoting and just trying to grow the audience, because that's something that I'd like to get into, is, you know, buying some ads and things like that to try to grow our audience that way.
Absolutely.
And of course that costs money, so we would love it if you could support us. If you have the means, please go to buymeacoffee.com/rhythmandwit. Rhythm and Wit. So, yeah, that's definitely kind of all I kind of had about Teen. Thank you so much for sharing all of that, for sure. And then we'll ask you a little bit more in a minute. But I wanted to shift over to Brandon, of course, and get into some questions about your band Lunar Division. So tell us about Lunar Division. Would you describe the style and like kind of how long have y'all been at it?
Forever. No,
it's been a while now, huh?
I guess like really we started like 2019, I guess. Like just checking away at it for a while before we like played our first show, but our first show was with your band, if I remember correctly.
I know, we've played many shows together for sure.
But I guess the music, I like, people always say like grunge or alternative, so I guess that, I mean, I don't know, I feel like
I don't
want to put myself in a box per se, but
I think
like,
that is always a tough question.
Yeah.
I know from playing in bands, it's always been like, I don't know what to describe this as. We just play some stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And just something comes out. But I think that that's even for comedy too. So we've been having that discussion about like, what's your niche or whatever, but it's like, that's not for the comic or the performer or artist, is like, they just make the art and then the audience can put those labels on it if they want.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. What.
So I would just say alternative rock, I guess.
But that's
like,
definitely the genre, I would say. And can you talk about the other members a little bit, like who's all band?
So Randy is our singer. He plays guitar.
He's more the rhythm guitar player, right?
Yeah, I mean, he does a few solos every now and then. And then Paul's lead guitar, so he's always doing majority of the solos.
Mm-hmm.
And then Matt plays bass. Mm-hmm. And then there's me, drums.
And you guys all sing except for Paul, right?
Right, yeah.
He's very adamant about
it. Yeah, no.
When
he did sing.
I said that before, I'm like, you guys all sing. He's like, no.
In the studio, one time we got him to do some like background vocals.
Yeah,
that's about it.
You know, I like that because you even sing as the drummer too. You sang kind of lead on one or two songs before, right?
Yeah, I find it easier to play and sing drums rather, because I also play bass, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, like, I don't know why. My brain doesn't have to think so hard.
I'm a bass player, and I'm not a singer at all. Like, I just don't have that. I don't know. I think anybody could be a singer, right? If you just, but I just, I don't know. But singing and playing bass, very, very difficult.
Yes.
No matter what. I don't know why. It is something about the two, maybe parts of your brain trying to do two different things. But
Yeah, too hard. Yeah,
drums probably a little bit. I can see it being more conducive to, because it's like when you're singing on a rhythm.
Yeah.
So playing drums on a rhythm is probably a little bit easier than trying to play bass and focus with that melody.
Yes.
Anyway, one thing I wanted to ask about you specifically was like your history as a musician, and kind of one question I ask a lot of people is like, what was one of your earliest memories of wanting to play or be a performer? And then, of course, I wanted to ask about like, how do you, you know, because I know you had played in many bands over the years.
let's see. I guess, like, I always liked music, and my parents always had music playing, like, when I was growing up. But, like, not too long ago, my mom had this old picture, and it's, like, me and my cousin, and I'm playing, like, a toy drum set.
Okay.
And he's got, like, a guitar, but we're, like, in our, like, diapers. Like, it's, like, Christmas morning.
That was the first band.
I was, like, I was still performing now, back then, too. But, so, I don't know. I just always loved music, so... I didn't really like get into like playing it. Like I tried also band, like school band, like in junior high. I tried to play saxophone. It didn't go very well, so I quit. I didn't really start playing like for sure until like after college and high school. And I started with playing bass, and I just taught myself like getting tabs off the internet.
Yeah,
and, you know,
it was the same. I'm pretty sure we're at the same age.
But, yeah,
Or around there. But
yeah.
Same, growing up with that era of the internet, before YouTube even.
Right, exactly. You don't know how, it used to be hard, you had to print them out now.
YouTube, you could learn anything, especially music, there's tons of stuff for that, but yeah, back in the day, we used to just look up these weird notations of of how to play a song.
I still have like folders full of like notebooks full of those.
Your tabs. I remember that whenever we first met, I mean, we probably met in like, it was probably like 2012 era or something like that. And I remember the band you were in was called The Hundred Something.
Yes,
I know that one because I have a CD that I remember buying. I still have, actually.
I still have a box of those in my closet. Yeah.
But I always remember that CDs. Band in particular. But was there any more between then and Lunar Division, I guess?
After that, there was... another one, Ward Frames. I don't ever remember that.
Yeah.
We, like, it was Matt. He played guitar in that band. I played bass.
Yeah.
And then there are two other guys, Rick. I think you might have met him.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I know Rick. Yeah.
And then
I didn't know. I guess I didn't really know he was a musician.
Yeah, he was really good. He was like naturally talented. Like,
yeah.
He just
awesome.
I'll play drums, and he did whatever.
Okay.
And then our singer Lee. Shout out to those guys. But we like recorded an EP, we, like did it at like a home studio, and then like I don't know, back in the day they used to have this, I don't know, like the Day of Oklahoma, and like you could send your music,
right?
And they like liked it.
Was
and
it
like,
a review kind of deal? Yeah.
And so it like kind of took off, which was cool.
Oh, that's cool.
So like. But our singer moved. He like is originally from Washington, and so we played like we had three shows total.
Oh no!
We played our debut show at the Blue Note. Then we played in Tulsa, and then our third show was Norman Music Festival, and that was it.
Wow!
And then that was it.
That's a wild, like short, like, but eventful.
Yeah, like, yeah. So like, it was everything was really. I don't know. It was just like. Was easy in that band.
That's
so
crazy. Yeah, it's unfortunate that y'all couldn't have kept that going.
Yeah,
just to see what you could have done with it.
Yeah, so that's always like, what if?
Yeah, you know, but yeah, I mean, that happens often. People move away.
Yes,
and yeah,
exactly.
I guess what was that? I just had a thought. Yeah, was it always like the similar styles? Like, I guess you're a personal. Like, what kind of music do you like? Personally yourself, like I know it's like rock music, I guess, is the core to
Did
you like experiment with different styles at all?
Like, I mean, as far as playing, I love like hip hop and rap and stuff like that. So I like on the side, like make beats on my own time.
Cool.
Not that they'll ever get released or never release anything like that.
Though. But I've done that for sure.
Yeah. But
mess around with the DAW MIDI.
Yeah.
And all that.
Yeah. That's fun. They can just tool away on that for hours.
Yeah.
But
that's
but,
cool.
Yeah. Mostly like music I play is like rock. Yeah. But I just like usually like high energy and you know, being able to just like rock out on the drums and you know, hit hard. It's okay. Like I don't, you know, I mean, not the hitting hard all the time is the only way to do it, obviously, but
it's something about it, the power and this is like the force behind it.
Yeah.
I think it's I think it's necessary too. I mean, as far as like in rock music, that it, whenever you're playing, trying to play a song without drums, it's just, I don't know, it's something that's necessary. It's like the bones.
Right, yeah. Like,
but yeah.
My day job, like they were doing these meetings where they're like, trying to get to know you, like, you know, team building exercises or whatever. And so one of the things was like, you have to make a presentation to present to the people, like just something that you like or a conspiracy theory or whatever. And so my presentation was about like how like disrespected drummers are. Like people are like, I never knew that.
Yeah.
Like drums are important. Yeah. I was like, you'd be surprised. Like some people like will just use a computer program for their drums or whatever. But it was pretty funny. But
that's awesome. Yeah. That's cool. Definitely trying to spread the word.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of the early days. So kind of the another question that's kind of a little bit deeper about music or art in general. But it's like, why do you feel that it's important to create particularly original music in Oklahoma or just in general? Like, and mainly focusing on like the original music aspect of it, because as a musician. It's like if you really wanted to make it in music, you wouldn't play original music. You'd play in a cover band. But so it's like, why is that for you in particular? Like, why have you chosen to stick with original music versus playing and just and getting paid actual money?
Well, I have been in a cover band before, too. And that's fun. Like, it's like fun to do that. And like you said, you do get paid a lot better. But I don't know. I just have that itch. Like, if I'm not creating, like, I don't feel, like, satisfied. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even though you're a cover band, like, you work hard to learn those songs. Yeah. And I mean, it takes work and dedication to play. And usually, like, those cover band gigs, you're playing for, like, hours. You're filling up the whole night. So, like, so no disrespect to that at all. But, I don't know. I just had that calling. Like, I feel like I gotta create something. And if I don't do it, like, I won't be fulfilled. So.
Right. Yeah, the creativity part of it.
But also, like, the aspect of, like you said, like, being in Oklahoma, like, a lot of times people I meet, like, work, like, I travel to the States and they're like, oh, you're from Oklahoma. Like, what do you do in Oklahoma? What's there to do in Oklahoma? I'm like, well, you know, we have a cool music scene now. Yeah. And like, you know, so it's cool to be able to, you know, contribute to that, like, even how small
be
or large
it
is.
It,
but
for sure. It's,
so that's definitely.
Yeah, and trying to help it grow. I mean, that's one of the main reasons I started this podcast channel in general, is to kind of help promote other musicians and the music community and art community and performing arts community. So it's like, I think it's something that is important. And like, I feel like, and because in my opinion as a musician, it's like, I'm actually not a musician. I mean, I'm still a musician, but I'm not playing with anyone currently, because it's so difficult to keep something like that going, any kind of project going, for one thing. And it's just like the support really isn't there, I feel like, for the audiences. So I think it's been discouraging in a lot of ways for me. But I think that's why I feel like I can focus on something like this and help maybe grow it more and get more eyes on it and get more attention. So that's definitely why I was excited you asked about doing this podcast to help promote this show. But before we get to that, I had a couple more questions. Yeah. Well, main thing on that topic a little bit, but like, how have you seen the local music scene change and evolve over through the years of playing? It's been over a decade.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's like grown so much. Like, it used to be hard. Like, it used to be hard to find venues to play.
Right.
Like, there was only a few that you could, you know, that wanted like local bands to play.
Original stuff, you know, for like. Sure.
So I'd say really that's almost been the biggest change is just how many venues they are now.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are very good about letting local bands play or, mm-hmm. you know, supporting local. So that's been one of the biggest things I think. Mm-hmm. But also now I feel like it's just a lot of diversity now. Like yeah. there's a lot of cool, like, you know, when the ACM opened, yeah. like a lot of bands came out of that and that's mm-hmm. so cool that they have that. And then like just, you know, seeing a bunch of different stuff now, like hip hop. I feel like hip hop is getting more. Like yeah. I see a lot more shows of that now, which is cool. Yes, and then just, sure. I don't know, it's just grown so much. I think that's really that's the biggest thing I can think of. But also, I feel like the talent has gotten mm-hmm. crazy good too. Like you can almost go any weekend and go to like a venue and see something, and you're like, oh, like look at it. You know, that's so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. I think about the music scene a lot, and that's why I like to ask about that, just because, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I said, it's still not what I want it to be, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's like, and with comedy, not to get onto comedy at all, but, like, I feel like comedy has kind of gone up, and, like, music is kind of with, or at least they're balancing out a little bit, because it's like there's so much comedy going on these days, and I feel like there's less music, but I mean, I don't know. I think there's probably about the same as has always been in a lot of ways.
I feel like, you know, it seems like sometimes like the same few bands like get most of the like headlines or like the big shows or whatever. But if you know, look, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on all the time.
Yeah, no, so that's
the real, I feel like you just got to find it, I guess.
That's the real thing is there's just a lot going, more going on, especially here in Oklahoma than there was like 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
For sure. I think music is definitely, but I do think that music is evolving. I think that, like, culturally even, like, people, I think that bands, like, rock bands in particular, like, are kind of on, like, not popular. Maybe it's been for decades, it's gone down. but I do, something I see a lot now is, like, solo artists and stuff kind of coming up. Do you feel like that? I mean, how plugged in are you into the music scene? Do you go to any a lot of shows?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
I was just going to try to let you chime in or whatever. Just because I'm just curious, because like I said, I feel like there's a lot more of like just these solo kind of more like maybe like a R&B pop style, you know, and that's always been more popular than rock music. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like social media has really helped a lot with some of those solo artists.
Yeah.
Just trying to chime in. So,
I think that's, you know, has a lot to do with it for sure, just because you can kind of build yourself as a singular artist. And I think that is something that's easier to be a solo artist versus having a full band of four people. What's interesting is you guys have been together for like over 5 years and it's the same lineup of guys the whole time, which is insane to even one, be around for over 5 years and then two, have the same people that are dedicated to it.
Yeah, I was a little lucky.
It's a good group for sure. So, and you guys just had a show this past Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys kind of getting back into playing more?
Yeah, usually, like, we're trying to be different this time because normally we would, like, we'll play some shows for a while and then, like, and then, like, stop playing shows until we, like, get new material out.
Right.
But this time we're like, let's keep being active and, you know, still write too. So that's what we've been trying to do now. So we've been lucky so far and been getting, I mean, at least a show like once a month or so, it seems like.
I think that's a good cadence and especially that way you're not overworked and then you can still get together and work on new stuff at the same time.
And then people aren't sick of seeing you, hopefully.
So. Yeah, that's the issue. If you play too much and especially just in the same city, you're not going to get as much turnout for sure, and that's always a struggle. I think I think a lot of bands struggle with that by playing too much, and then they don't, you know, it's like oversaturating the market a little bit.
But the show Saturday was awesome. It was pretty packed. I was
Velvet Jays. Yeah. Right. Who else was on there?
Tadpole.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Tadpole. I love Tadpole. Yeah.
They're awesome. They killed as always. All the bands are good, but it was fun. So it was a good show. It was a good turnout. So hopefully keep the momentum up so we can get that at our show too.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
This episode of Rhythm and Wit was brought to you by Campbell & Son Electric, Oklahoma City's trusted one-truck electrical contractor with over 20 years of experience in the field. Whether it's upgrading your home's electrical service, troubleshooting issues, or tackling small commercial projects, Campbell & Son Electric delivers top-notch work with care and attention you'd expect from a family business. Servicing areas like Dell City, Edmond, Yukon, Mustang, and beyond, they're your go-to for reliable expert service. Need help with your next project? Visit CampbellandSonElectric.com today and get it done right the first time. Campbell & Son Electric, brightening Oklahoma, one wire at a time.
I haven't been in the Blue Note in a long time, but that's a great stage for sure. And then Resonant Head is, I think, one of the best stages. I've never gotten to play on it, but they have the best sound, the best lights.
That's very cool. I love
have you played there before? Yeah,
we had our album release there. Yeah, we did our album release show there.
That was about a year ago.
Yeah. And Patrick's awesome. Shout out to him because he's been so easy to work with getting this together. And,
so we can talk about that. The benefit show, August 30th. It is at Resonant Head. So one question for kind of the both of you guys is like kind of how did Lunar Division and Team like come together to team up?
Last year I was like, you know what we haven't done? Like we should do like a toy drive show. Like it's Christmas time. Like I would like to, I don't know. I just felt like that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well,
it's like you're in that giving mode.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I want to find something that's like local to Oklahoma. I don't want to just, you know, get these toys and ship them somewhere else or whatever. And then so I was just kind of Googling and then I found Team and then I like saw like their message and like what they're trying to do. And I was like, man, like how cool would it be to be able to like help those kids, you know, they've, you know, going through stuff with their parents and, you know, criminal justice system. Like I know, like, I have family members that's been involved, and so that was kind of personal to me because I know how difficult it could be to get that second chance or, you know, get back to, you know, what normal. So if I can play a show and help kids get some toys, like, I want to do it. So I just, like, emailed them. I was like, hey, would it be cool if we wanted to do a toy drive show for you? And she was excited about it. I was like, okay.
So, yeah, you two in particular, you were working there at the time. That was just this past Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Cool. Yeah.
I was at the speakeasy. Shout out to Greg. He's like, hopefully I would like to do that again. Like,
For this coming holiday,
so
for
I need to hit him up again too. But it was great. It was.
It was something. I mean, when I took it to our leadership team, they were like, a concert, and I was like, but hear me out. And it was so successful, and you guys brought in so much toys that whenever we started preparing for the hygiene drive, I was like, man, I hope they want to do that again. And of course, Brandon's such a good person. He was like, let's do it.
So this time you reached out to them for this, because this is specifically for like hygiene products.
Yeah, so every December we do a toy drive, and so it was out there and like promoting it, and so I think he probably just looked up local toy drive. But that's for all of our participants' children. So just going back on it's, and he was like, "Oh, we get some toys for kids," but it was really like trying to break some of those adverse childhood experiences. Mm-hmm. So waking up with no present, right? Like that can really cause something in the child's mind, right? So just trying to cancel that out, but also like giving the participant something to be like, oh, I provided this for my child, right? So it was just getting kids toys, but it really made a huge impact.
It was a bigger deal,
and then. So we also do this hygiene drive every year because we have a hygiene closet, but serving 3,600 a year, you go through your hygiene pretty quick. So we do a 2-month drive every summer to restock the closet for an entire year. And so we put bins out all over the community and stuff, but I was like, what's a way to get the community together. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, another concert. And so I was like, who do I contact? Duh, Brandon. Yeah, so I was like, great. Hey guys. Yeah.
That's definitely, and it's good to have somebody like Brandon, because you've been in it for so long now. We know other bands because you've got a really great lineup on this show. Who was on the Christmas show with you guys? Do you remember the other bands?
Tadpole and Tadpole Gonzo and Lebronzo.
Yeah, okay.
Both, yeah, really good bands there. And then this year we have the very talented M and the Mother Superiors. They're like one of my favorite bands in the city.
Me too. Yeah. I was so glad that
that they're available for this.
Yes.
Because I've been following them. I mean, they've been probably one of the longest running bands that I'm aware of. And it shows, I think, when you have a group like that that's been doing it as long as they have. So that'll be really exciting. What can you tell us about Mr. Mandala and Day Chaser?
Newer bands. I know that Mr. Mandala just released an EP. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I've been listening to it quite a bit actually. Yeah. But I not to put labels on anybody or anything like that. But I feel it's like they got like real like cool solos, kind of almost kind of like psych rock kind of sound and stuff, but again I don't want to put a label on them, but that's very awesome, cool
man. It sounds their name kind of gives that vibe a little bit.
But I think like they just had their either first or second show at Speakeasy not too long ago, and I mean they're ripping. I was like, okay, like
how'd you get hooked up with them? You just saw
them? Yeah, I just saw them, and then I heard that I saw that they released that EP, and I listened to it, and I was like, this is pretty awesome. So let me hit these guys up and see if they want to play it. So luckily they did. Yeah. They're very excited about it. And so, you know, that's nice. So I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be cool. So I really most importantly, I like to just work with people that are like nice and like, you know, sometimes even like in the local scene, some people sometimes aren't so pleasant to do shows with.
There's like a lot of ego. I mean, and particularly with music for whatever reason, I don't know.
Right. So, like you said, Emin, they've been around for a while and they're very nice. All of them are very nice. Yeah. Day Chaser is cool. They bring so much energy. Like I wanted to try to get like different genres of like rock to like try to get everybody to, you know, something for everybody, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So but they're kind of more like, I don't know, not kind of like pop punk, but like, I mean, just real high energy, like good harmonies, good solos. Like it'll be a cool show. So I think you know, it's going to be good. I'm excited. Yeah. And they rip. So it's going to be awesome.
Awesome. Cause I hadn't heard of either of those other two bands, but I don't know. I'm getting older. That's really tough to keep up with younger people, the younger bands and stuff. And I don't even go to shows anymore. It's like, I wanted to go to y'all's show Saturday, but it's just like, I don't even know if it was that late. I had another thing that night too. But I was like, I just can't stay up late anymore. It's tough. I don't know. Yeah. It's like, man, music and like, because I go to a lot of comedy shows. I'm a photographer, so I do photograph a lot of comedy these days. I'd like to do more music. But it's like music shows like this, like even this show, I'm sure it'll be like 4 or 5 hours. You know what I mean? Like it's so long if you want to watch the whole show.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's tough for me to do stuff like that. Whereas comedy is like a tight hour and a half and you're out. It's never been longer than that. So I don't know. I've been enjoying that a little bit, but just for that aspect, but they're both fun. I just like anything to watch someone perform. I think it's incredible. So yeah. So that's the benefit show. And then how did you, you knew Resonator, Resonant Head. You've worked with them before, but something I wanted to bring up just to get your opinion on in particular, but Resonant Head seems to be doing a lot more benefit shows. They just did another one, I think, like this past month. I don't know why in particular, but it's cool. Yeah. I think it's great. But I do think that maybe it could be a struggle to get people out. So it's like, well, if you do a benefit show, it's a little bit more of a cause to get people to come out and support stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this is only the second one I've done. Yeah. So,
It's just weird because you hit me up about this, and then they were doing. It was like Catlock and all of them.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Well, it was like a cancer thing. Which
and that was at Resident Ed as well. Yeah. So I don't know. That's maybe it was just a coincidence. But yeah, I don't know. I just think it's interesting. So all right, well, let's see. I think we'll probably kind of wrap this up. We'll go with. You first, Allie, where can people find more about Team and get more involved with that?
Yeah, definitely. You can head over to our website. It's team.org. That's TEEM.org. Uh-huh. Got tons of information in there on how you can donate, or if you want to come volunteer, we've got lots of opportunities for you to use your own skills to better the community. So we also have social medias. We have Facebook, Instagram, and X. Those are all going to be OKC Team.
Yeah.
So.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's cool. They just followed you guys on Instagram today.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was looking at the website. The website's very well organized and has tons of information. But
I don't know.
Instagram's always a nice thing to just keep up with, like even the drives and things like that.
Definitely.
You can kind of, it'll just show up in your feed so you know when you can donate, that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And then what about Lunar Division? You guys have a website too?
Yeah, we do. it's lunardivisionband.com. Yeah. And then it just has our music and you can see where we're playing at. And then on all socials, it's Lunar Division OK.
Yeah. So. And then one last reminder for the show. It is going to be Saturday, August 30th at Resident Head, 8 p.m. And Resident Head is at 400 Southwest 25th Street in Oklahoma City. And that's the Capitol Hill District, which is a cool little street now. Have you been over there? It's kind of a little, I feel like it's kind of growing up into a little new art district deal. Because they have the Yale Theater over there.
That's right,
Very cool. They do, a Momentum art show there every year now. Anyways, so everyone check that out. And then, of course, one last thing I wanted to bring up was the hygiene thing. You donate a hygiene product, and then you get a discount on the ticket. And then was there a recommendation on that or something, or just any hygiene?
Any hygiene. Anything that you can think of. Hygiene, shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste, soap.
Just anything.
Floss. All the things. Yeah, we'll take it all.
everything.
There's going to be a flyer that's coming out pretty soon that's going to have a QR code on it that you can see what items.
Oh, cool. Because
that list that you sent me. Yeah. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, if you bring an item, the ticket, right now, it's $12 in advance or $15 day of show. But if you bring an item, the ticket will just be $10.
Okay, cool. That's very good.
A little cheap C4 bands.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
That's cool. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, thank y'all for coming and talking about the show. We're excited about it, and hope to see everyone there. And hopefully, everyone learned a lot about a cool organization here. All right. Thank y'all.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah,
I appreciate
thank
it,
you.
Man. Good to see you.
All right. That's it. Awesome. That was great.